With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, it's Stephen Ray Morris, and welcome to the latest episode of Swift Bites, a weekly See Jurassic Right podcast series where I cover what's happening in the universe of Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, dinosaurs, science, and more. Hats, chairs, and Isla Sorna crates, oh my. This week, we got a healthy helping of little peeks from the set of Jurassic World Dominion that not only got my nostalgia feels going, but have intriguing implications for this sixth entry in the Jurassic Park / Jurassic World franchise. Plus, I'm going to announce the three winners in the contest to win a copy of Ashley Hall's new book, Fossils for Kids. All these bites and more, hold on to your butts right now. Welcome, everybody. I hope you're doing well. It's a little chaotic right now, which feels appropriate for Jurassic Park, but because I'm currently on a half-finished desk, so that's where I'm at. But yeah, I hope everyone's had a great week. I'm super excited to jump into this week's episode. It's going to be a little bit different in the sense that, I mean, all the stories are essentially just collecting. I mean, this week, I mean, even today, we got a huge peek. We got not our first set pick, actually. That's not true, because we got set picks back when the original shoot started going. But we got a really cool set pick that kind of confirms and also adds to a lot of rumors that have been happening over the last few weeks and months. So, yeah, without further ado, let's dive in. So, I mean, it's been interesting thinking about that. So when the film first started filming, we mostly got looks from Colin Trevorrow that involved Macy. And now we've gotten a little sneak peek here or there from Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt, but mostly that was like behind the scenes or costume kind of stuff, bruises. But this week, essentially, Laura Dern and Sam Neill started filming. And so they were the leaders in providing a lot of this stuff. So anyway, Sam Neill they kicked off the week first sharing a pic of him from Jurassic Park 3 saying, "Tomorrow I'm back in the Grand Hat and into the whole Jurassic world. Terror knows no bounds." So that was super cool. And again, it's interesting that he shared a Jurassic Park 3 picture because he followed up the next day with, "Hello, old friend, # Jurassic World, # Jurassic Park, at Amblin Road, at Laura Dern, at Pratt, 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 at Jeff Goldblum, at Bryce Dallas Howard." Anyway, so he shared what looks like to be the hat, or at least an approximation of the hat from Jurassic Park 3, because obviously he lost the first hat in Jurassic Park. And Billy Brennan has saved your hat in Jurassic Park 3. So, I mean, it's interesting to think, is this the hat from Jurassic Park 3? Or is it just a hat in a similar style of Jurassic Park 3? I want to say, I mean, why would he say "hello, old friend" if it wasn't the hat from Jurassic Park 3? And my thinking is that, yeah, it looks a little bit different than the hat in Jurassic Park 3, but maybe he got it spruced up. Maybe got a new band put on it or something like that. So I'm going to just say all the stories up front, and then we can kind of do some analysis. And then, I mean, the one that really set off the, you know, the like nostalgia bells, in a sense, was the picture that Laura Dern posted, which she posted basically two chairs from the set of Jurassic World Dominion. They're like black, and they're like the director's style movie chairs that everybody uses to sit down on. I mean, there's even that great picture of a lot of this, a lot of the cast from the original Jurassic Park in these chairs in Hawaii, like reading the scripts. So that was kind of a nice little like linking back. But these two chairs, one of them on the left says Dr. Ellie Sattler and one of them says Dr. Alan Grant right next to each other. And they got a really cool little cup holder, which I noticed. And yeah, and the background is very like, yeah, the background behind the chairs is essentially kind of rocky, pebbly, soily with bigger kind of gray rocks and some shrubs. And the font is, looks to be in the similar font that they're taking with, I feel like they've used some of this font in other signs or things for Jurassic World Dominion. I don't know what that means, but I mean, this, it's the kind of thing that was the same with the Laura Dern action, when Laura Dern shared the action figure last week. I think I'm feeling this image and feeling kind of the power of it because, yeah, I'm somebody where it's like, something isn't happening until it's happening. So, you know, it's that, it's kind of superstitious in that sense of like, you know, okay, these, you know, this cast is coming back, but like seeing the chairs on set, that to me is just like,
whoa,
this, that day they were filming scenes for Dominion with Laura Dern and Sam Neill, you know, as Dr. Ellie Sattler and Alan Grant in 2020, like, you know, in this sixth entry in the Jurassic, you know, Park franchise, like it's really happening. It's real, you know? So that to me was what felt really great. And again, it's interesting, you know, it to, you know, in some ways, like some of these set picks and things, it's like assuaging the fears of like cameo or thing, you know, it's like, no, they're on set, you know, they're together. I think it's funny to me that some people were being like, oh, it's not, you know, Ellie Degler, which first of all, guys, y'all, Dr. Ellie Sattler is a professional paleobotanist, published author, speaker. She is not going to use her married name to lecture. She's professionally, she's Dr. Ellie Sattler. Why would she? Also, that would be so weird. Like you know, I love Jurassic Park 3, but it's, you know, the least successful Jurassic movie. And no, you know, they're not going to just say Dr. Ellie Degler, like, regardless of whether or not, you know, again, you know, all the feelings and thoughts that we've talked about, whether we want Grant and Sattler to be back together, whether we want, you know, Mark and Charlie to be in the picture, whatever, like they're going to, she's going to be called Dr. Ellie Sattler in this movie. She's not going to be Degler. Like,
come on, guys.
Sorry. That's my little soapbox, but seeing them, you know, but again, it's like these implications. Okay. Like that to me is exciting regardless of whether or not they're like together, because again, I go back and forth of whether I want that, but the idea that they're in scenes together, I think is very exciting. And I wonder what this means for Malcolm, because this is not to say that Malcolm isn't going to be with them, but, and who knows, maybe they are, maybe Malcolm's there as well. But I just find it interesting that they're, that this week was very much Laura Dern and Sam Neill, you know, and again, maybe that's just how the movie is situated, that there are these scenes with Sattler and Grant together. But that to me is really exciting. I mean, I do want a scene and scenes of all the trio together, but I do find it interesting that whatever the makeup of this movie is going to involve at least a few scenes where it's just Grant and Sattler. So that's really cool. And then this reminded me, because I forgot to include it originally when I was putting this thing together, but Jurassic Park podcast back, gosh, I don't even remember when, like late last year, put forth a tidbit that Jurassic World Dominion was going to film in Malta, which for you don't know, Malta is, where is Malta? It's in the Mediterranean between Sicily and the North African coast. So I'm going to go to you old Google images. And yeah, I mean, it's truly like when I pull out, it's like Tunisia and Libya. You've got Italy to the north, Greece to the east. And it's in the part of the Mediterranean Sea. It's like the second, it's like the middle part of the Mediterranean Sea. It's a very beautiful place. And so this article from Josh Evans over at Jurassic Outpost said, Jurassic World Dominion will be filming on the Mediterranean island of Malta. Today it was announced by Malta Film Commissioner Johan Grek that the sixth film in the Jurassic franchise will be heading to the island at the end of August. So again, for just to keep up and keep score, Jurassic World Dominion originally filmed in and around Vancouver Island and just sort of that part of Canada when it filmed before the pandemic shut down. I don't think I talked about it on any of the podcasts, but there was second unit in Yemen. There was second unit in Vancouver Island as well, too. And then they've, since July 6th, they've been filming. So, wow, let's see. Today is the 7th. So they've been filming at Pinewood for a month officially. So at the end of August. So they're basically going to film 2 months in Pinewood. And I think there was some other UK stuff that they were filming at, but I'm not 100%. And then they're going to move to Malta at the end of August. So various locations around the island will be used as part of the shoot, including Valletta, Vitarosa, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing this, Maliha, and Pembroke. Stars Bryce Dallas Howard, Chris Pratt, and Sam Neill are among those expected to be on the island for the portion of filming. According to the tourism minister, Julia Ferreira Portelli, Dominion is just one of the 9 international productions expected on Malta this year. And the other part that's interesting about this article was that they indicate Dominion's budget to be almost $235 million, which would be the most it makes sense that this could possibly be the most expensive Jurassic film. I mean, not only are you getting the original trio back, but you're getting the heroes of Jurassic World and, you know, all the secondary cast back together. It's more of a globetrotting adventure as opposed to Jurassic World was essentially what? Louisiana and Hawaii, you know? So it's like just this thing is expanding. And so I don't really have any theories yet of what Malta will be used for, if it is. I don't think it's Malta, but there's something very, it's funny, I keep getting this vibe. So for those who don't know, in 2000, I forget what year the John Sayles script came out, but so John Sayles, 2000 through 2004, John Sayles wrote a script of Jurassic Park 4 that was very much the proto for Jurassic World, but it involved kind of a Chris Pratt-like character going to this like castle in the Swiss Alps where there was half human, half dinosaur hybrids that they like went on adventure, like military adventures to like stop drug dealers and stuff. And it was like, it just was a very strange, very Saturday morning cartoon version of Jurassic Park, which look, I'm excited for Camp Cretaceous, but it was very, but I don't know, for some reason, this like sort of European, the picture that, that they use on Outpost. I mean, this island is just this very beautiful, like blue skies, like blue green ocean and just like orange kind of rough buildings, but very like classical. I'm just getting vibes that, like, is Biosyn in an exotic location hiding away doing experiments? Like, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from this. Like, the notion of this as a globetrotting adventure movie is sort of not really, that's just sort of a thing I've had in my head and sort of a thing that feels like it. Cause I mean, it's just Dominion's going to be so different than any Jurassic movie with how much of the movie is made up of only returning cast, plus the dinosaurs are loose in the world, at least in, you know, the US. So is this a stand-in for something in the US maybe? But nothing in the US looks like Malta. I mean, Santa Barbara maybe, or Hawaii. And so it's going to be interesting to just piece this all together. There's just right now, it just feels like we haven't gotten anything to really sort of mentally wrap our heads around what this movie is going to look like. I mean, with Jurassic World, it's like, okay, we're at a zoo. Okay, that's just going to be a stand-in for Jurassic World. And even with Dominion, you had the museum or the house, the Lockwood Manor. I don't feel like we've gotten a concrete feel of a location yet for this film, which I find very interesting. So no word on how long they're going to be there for, but yeah, I mean, again, it's like, what is this movie going to look like? I mean, we talked about the Deadline article and saying how they, think an Empire article and stuff, talking about how they basically filmed all their crowd scenes in less than 3 weeks. And, you know, and it, like, is that just adjustments for the pandemic? But they said it's not. So this movie is just very peculiar. And I think that this set picture set by this set picture sent to Jurassic Outpost exclusively by Colin Trevorrow, I think perfectly kind of wraps up this week of enigmas. And so Corey Anderson wrote this article. Trevorrow teases a return to Isla Sorna and new set picture from Jurassic World Dominion. So the cast and the crew have been at work on Dominion for a few weeks now, and fans have been eagerly awaiting pics from the set. And so Colin Trevorrow sent this picture over. And to describe it, it is a lab. There's like a brown briefcase. There's like beakers and, you know, centrifuges and lots of stainless steel and, you know, kind of very bare walls. But if you notice in the corner, there's a like almost like a fossil embedded in the wall. There's also a very 90s looking telephone hanging on the wall, which it's actually funny because Brenna has a phone that we put in our bathroom that looks just like that. So I find that very funny. But obviously the most the bearing the lead here, the most intriguing thing is that there is a big stainless steel travel case. It says, you know, has a caution severe cold, and it's open. And, you know, again, it's like this very protective case, and it has the engine logo on it. And then it also says Site B, Isla Sorna, and then another fragile. So this is what set off bells for everybody. And in Corey's article, it says, now for some speculation right off the bat, the cold storage signs suggest this box contained embryos. I mean, to me, like growing up, so much of Jurassic Park was like the biohazard sign and the fragile and like, you know, all this kind of sciencey, exciting kind of signage and stuff. So to me, Colin sharing this is just really cool for that reason. So Corey says that furthermore, its placement in the lab means that someone is making dinosaurs from remnant InGen materials. With the recent confirmation of the return of Dotson, Corey's saying here that it could be in the Biosyn laboratory. But so, yeah, to me, when I first saw this, like when I just like spit out my coffee this morning, I just was like, wow, because I had a bet like during the making of Fallen Kingdom with myself that I really just wanted Claire to say Isla Sorna. And we got close. We got Mill saying Site B to Claire in Fallen Kingdom. And so for me, I was like, whoa, like Site B. Now we're like, and as I posted this morning, when I posted this pic to the group, See Jurassic Right podcast, I just was like, this movie continues to surprise me. The making of this movie, it's like, first we get the trio back, then we get all the side characters back from the other Jurassic World movies, and then we get Dotson, and now we're getting Site B. It's just like, you know, we've talked about before, you know, the sort of little bit of jealousy, like, you know, with the Jurassic community towards Marvel and Star Wars, because, you know, that Disney power has so much money to invest in the lore, to invest in the universe of their properties. And it always felt like with Jurassic, it always came up a little short, you know, because these movies were just a collection of films versus like a true universe. But we know Colin has been working towards this since the beginning. And so stuff like this just feels, it doesn't feel fan service-y. It just feels like it feels like there's somebody at the wheel for this franchise. And it just, to me, these little nods just make me feel so excited for this film and for the future of the franchise. So, I know Colin knows what he's doing. I mean, sharing Site B, Isla Sorna, you're just like, whoa, how are we going to go back to Site B? How's this going to matter? And if you haven't checked out like the viral websites from Fallen Kingdom, at least in the modern day at the time of Fallen Kingdom and Dominion, essentially Sorna was abandoned and a lot of its remaining assets were taken to Jurassic World before the time of that movie. So essentially it was like there are poachers and things that are trying to steal dinosaurs off the island during the Evolution of Claire book. It's not in the book. It's mentioned during the events of the book, but it just makes sense. It's like there's all these dinosaurs roaming free on this other island. Miss Ronnie's trying to build Jurassic World, so let's use these assets that are already here. But there's so many questions that remain. Like, was the Spinosaurus like captured and taken to Jurassic World? That would be an interesting element. Yeah, the Isla Sorna stuff I think has been a really sore point, because it just feels like that island was swept under the rug. Yes, it was addressed in the web material, but I think people just wanted to see another confirmation. I mean, even if it, like, I for one think that just thematically, the fact that they wanted to destroy Isla Nublar and have that be sort of the park is gone. It's like you couldn't have another island out there filled with dinosaurs. So I think they kind of just, yeah, it just was this kind of thing of like, they're not pretending it doesn't exist, but they're sort of like, it doesn't matter. So the fact that we're getting this look at Site B, Isla Sorda, in this set picture for Dominion is just like, what is, like, I don't know anything anymore. I don't know what to think. I'm so excited. And so, yeah, so there's, you know, these initial theories of like, is this InGen crate being, you know, was it stolen and taken to Biosyn? And I think Tom Jurassic shared an image of how this crate looks just very similar to the crates in Jurassic World and Dominion, like when they're packing up Wu's lab. Again, every movie ends with Wu being like, shit, we gotta go, just throw it in a box. But Adventure Collectibles, and if you don't follow Adventure Collectibles, they put so much great work into just collecting the interesting and weirdest Jurassic stuff. They've been sharing like an early like reader copy of Michael Crichton's Lost World in the last few months, like really interesting differences between the finished book and this kind of reader copy. And so they shared right after right after this Dominion set pick was posted. And they said, so I think the new photo of that Colin Trevorrow post from the set of Jurassic World Dominion might actually be a flashback of the Visitor Center genetics lab from the first film. Note the same holes in the corners of the wall panels, the similar fossil wall detail, the red lines on the floor, the old analog phone on the wall, and Polaroid instant camera hanging on the cart in the right side of the photo also points to the 90s. So, yeah, I mean, truly some top-notch level like analysis going on. Here, I'm going to go to another. Oh, yeah, I see the Polaroid. Wow. Yeah, I mean, gosh, I'm just in. Yeah, I'll link to this Instagram and it's already posted in the group. But I mean, obviously, the lighting is different because it looks like this was like just taken on set. You know, it's not a shot from the film or anything, this photo that Colin shared. But yeah, and I mean, that's definitely setting off bells because we've definitely had theories that there is going to be some sort of flashback in Dominion. This notion that this could be like an alternate view of events in Jurassic Park is so, just so thrilling. And I always wondered, in Dominion, would we get a chance to see what original Macy was up to? Because, I mean, in that stuff is very unclear, but in Fallen Kingdom, you know, we know that Macy is a clone and that the original Macy went to Jurassic Park, you know, because, you know, Lockwood says, like, you know, did my mom ever visit the park? And she did. She would have saved them. She would have saved them all. And I think that was a setup for something, some story. You know, he says that she died in a car accident, or Mills says that she died in a car accident or something like that. But I think that's like a cover up. And I think, yeah, did something that original Macy do have implications for the future is what I'm curious about. And then because there's rumors of the Barbasol can coming back and going back to that moment, I'm this opening sequence of like in my head of like this flashback where maybe, I mean, is it that original Macy stole, like worked for Biosyn and she like betrayed her dad or something like that? Because I don't know why, but the idea that they could be tying in Dotson and the Barbasol can to Macy, like original Macy, and something she did at the park. And this is, I mean, it's a crate of embryos from Site B. Like, what? So there's just so much stuff. Like, to me, this is what's so exciting about a Jurassic universe. That's what's exciting about the Marvel movies, is that you get, you know, in Endgame, you get to see events from different perspectives. You get heroes mixing up together that, you know, you get Rocket and, you know, Ant-Man, and you get, you know, Hulk and Black Widow or whatever. Like, you know, you get a kind of mixing of all these. This universe is such a rich history that you get to see all these things mixing around together. And so to just see in this one set pick swirling thoughts of Macy from Fallen Kingdom and Dotson from the original Jurassic Park and flashbacks and Site in Isla Sorna from Lost World and Jurassic, it's like bringing in your whole world of the movies together. Like, it's tying in every single thing. And so to me, that's what truly is like the most coolest and exciting part. I mean, there's so many cool and exciting parts about Jurassic World Dominion, but the thought, and again, ties back to that Forbes article about kind of Jurassic World Dominion sort of being this linchpin and pivot point into a new era of Jurassic Park movies where we're really taking stock of the entire franchise so far. And that is awesome. So that's it. I've been jamming for a while. So what do you think? Do you think it's a flashback? Do you think that this is stolen material from Site B? Do you think Macy has something to do with it? Do you think Dodson has something to do with it? Are we going to see a de-aged Wu, but like BD Wong is so handsome. He practically hasn't aged a day since 1993. So that's exciting. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on these new set picks? Are you wanting to see more unofficial? Like my policy so far has been, I don't really want to see unofficial leaks and set picks and stuff. But if you guys are curious about that, I could at least talk about it. But yeah, let me know what you think. And yeah, let's take a quick break and then I'll announce the contest winners after that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's wrap up this episode with the winners of the Fossils for Kids contest. Again, Ashley Hall wrote an amazing collection field guide for your... It's like a getting into fossils starter kit. It's such a great book. And yeah, let's just read the winners there. I just pulled them at random across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So it's just a copy of the book. Nothing, there's no like first, second. You're all first place in my heart. So the first winner here is Aurora at Aurora Cake Bunny. And she said her favorite, again, the contest was to say what your favorite prehistoric prehistoric life form that isn't a dinosaur. Because that's the great thing about Fossils for Kids is, yes, dinosaurs are amazing and cool, but there are also other prehistoric life forms worth looking into. And so Aurora Cake Bunny says, definitely the freaky Quetzalcoatlus. And then the like, ooh, emoji, whatever that is called. And yeah, Quetzalcoatlus is probably my favorite prehistoric life form, definitely flying reptile for sure. It's the biggest flying reptile ever. You've definitely seen photos of it. It's just, I mean, it's like a jet. It's like an airplane sized flying reptile. It's crazy. So yay, Aurora Cake Bunny, you won. And then at Amy is cool on Twitter said, entry on behalf of my son Jasper, who's six. Their favorite is Sarcosuchus because it's massive in all caps and would probably be a good sidekick to Godzilla, if Godzilla was real, apparently. I was like, wait, I was like, Sarcosuchus is real, but Godzilla isn't. Well, Godzilla's real in our hearts. But Sarcosuchus, actually, that's funny, because that's one of my favorite newer Mattel toys from this year, or last year? This year, the Sarcosuchus. It's just a giant crocodile. It's got kind of a thin snout that goes out to a big schnoz, but it's a really interesting looking prehistoric crocodile. And then the last winner, but you know, they're all equally first place, is at Barber Becky T on Instagram and says, since my 10-year-old daughter would think this is cool and the fact that she's obsessed with snakes at the moment, I'll say her favorite would have to be Titanoboa. Up to 40 feet in length and 2,500 pounds. Terrifying to me, but she thinks it's the coolest. And giant ancient snakes that probably ate dinosaurs. Actually, could it have eaten dinosaurs? This is from the same... Let's see. Titanoboa. Oh, wow. So I just looked it up on Wikipedia, and Titanoboa lived during the middle to late Paleocene epoch, a 10 million year period immediately following the Cretaceous Paleogene extinction event. So Titanoboa never ate dinosaurs, but probably ate whatever survived the extinction of the dinosaurs. So that's really cool. And yeah, those are the winners. I'm going to reach out to them. Thank you all for entering. I want to do more contests and more giveaways and things like that. So let me know if you're interested in that. And yeah, that's this episode of Swift Bites. Let me know how you're liking the new format so far. I'd love to read listener submitted stories or more comments and things like that from you guys. I try to pay attention to, I'll post these things on social throughout the week, the different stories and stuff. And I try and, pick some comments and things like that, that you guys are continuing the conversation. So I'll try to do that more. But let me know if you want, share any stories throughout the week you want me to talk about, and I'll do it. So, yeah, I mean, this is the season of Jurassic World Dominion, and things are just heating up. So enjoy your weekend, and I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.